Good evening, and welcome to this time and this space together. It's my joy to welcome those of you who are joining us over live stream and those of you who are here in the room. I love this space and the feel of this time of worship every week, and I'm grateful for the work that Aaron Racine has done and Matt Phelps to create this space for us since the first of the year. Matt Phelps is actually at the Skirmerhorn this evening, performing as part of the Elliston Trio. So we are really excited and grateful that Kyle and Rebecca Collier are going to be leading us with some music tonight, and I think we'll all be blessed by them. We are going to be dwelling in the book of Leviticus a little bit tonight, and just exploring it with our imaginations when we get to the time of Scripture. So I invite you to center yourselves and open yourselves to this time of worship.
Just as I am.
Will you join me in our opening prayer? Gracious God, receive our humble offering this night. Help us to seek you with our whole hearts. May our lives reflect your love and grace. Gracious God, be present with us this night. May we draw closer to you through our worship. Amen. Part of what this text tonight invites us into is confession and recognizing our need to place our brokenness, our sin, our need before God. So let us join our voices together in this prayer of confession as we begin our time together. Let us pray. Holy God, your love is amazing, steady, and unchanging. Your love is relentless, passionate, and astounding. We thank you for Jesus, who has redeemed us and restored us to a right relationship with you. We confess that we take this gift for granted. We fail to grasp the significance of the sacrifice. We continue to live as unredeemed people. Forgive us for our sinfulness. Cleanse us, restore us, and ignite our hearts with a passion to live for you. We humbly ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us spend a few moments in silent confession. There is good news for us and for all people this night. Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world, including our own. Let us lay down what burdens us and receive forgiveness and grace. Amen. Tonight's scripture is from the book of Leviticus. And for those of you who might be participating in the practice of reading through the Bible, we are in Leviticus this week, and I've heard from several of you about what a difficult read this can be. But I trust and believe that the Holy Spirit can bless us, even in the most difficult of texts. So let me read this scripture and then tell you a little bit about the bigger picture of what's happening in this moment in Israel's history. This is the Lord speaking through Moses. This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall deny yourselves and shall do no work, neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this day, atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. From all your sins, you shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you. And you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. He shall make atonement for the sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel once in the year for all their sins. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. The first part of the book of Leviticus outlines rituals and practices for people, for the people of Israel, as they're traveling through the wilderness to come to the tabernacle and offer sacrifices, sacrifices of grain, sacrifices of animals. There were sacrifices for atonement for sin, for guilt, and also goodwill offerings for sacrifices of thanksgiving. And the book of Leviticus is sort of a manual for the priests on how to go about doing all of these things. When we get to chapter 16, it moves from practices for individuals into the practice for the community, that once a year, the whole community would confess together their sins as a shared people, that no one sin was worse than another. They're confessing their sins and they're all in it together. Our Jewish friends still celebrate this holiday called Yom Kippur, and it's the Day of Atonement. And I want to invite you into a little exercise of imagination. I want to describe for you what would happen on this Day of Atonement and then guide you through a sacred imagination and enter into some silent reflection after that. So, if you would, if you'd like to, close your eyes, get your feet comfortable on the floor. Take a moment to take a deep breath. And imagine the scene of you are one of the Israelites gathered with all of the people in the wilderness. Imagine for yourself what the wilderness looks like. Perhaps it's dry and sandy, or rocky and windy. You're gathered there in front of the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. Inside the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies, where you believe rests the presence of God in a very special way for your people. The priest comes to the tent of meeting, standing at the entrance in front of all the people. And in front of him are two goats. One of them will be taken in and sacrificed in the temple as a sacrifice on behalf of the whole people. The other goat has a particular role. The priest places his hands on the head of the goat and announces to all of the people that all of their sins are now being laid on top of this goat. So imagine for a moment what you want to offer up and let go of. Perhaps it's something you said you wish you hadn't said. A time when you remain silent when you wish you had spoken. Some action you took that you now regret. Some place in your own life that you want to change. You want to be made whole. And so in this moment, you offer that prayer, and the hands of the priest lay that burden on top, on the back of this animal. And all of the sins of all the people, all of their struggles, all of their shame, all of their mistakes and failures are laid there. And then together you watch as that goat is sent into the wilderness, far, far away, carrying away the burdens and sins of all the people and of you, never to be seen again. All of the sins of the people and of you are forgiven and forgotten. As Christians, we understand this text in a different perspective. Through the lens of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, we understand that Jesus, the Christ, has offered the ultimate once and for all sacrifice for our sins. that he has made things right with us. He has offered at-one-ment. So I invite you now to shift the scene. Imagine that you are sitting next to a flowing stream, the green meadow behind you. And yet your head is down as you dwell on your shortcomings and your mistakes, your feelings of unworthiness. And then someone comes and sits beside you. His name is Jesus. He doesn't say anything for a while. Just allow him to sit next to you for a moment. And he puts his arm around your shoulders. And he says, "Give it to me, whatever it is that is breaking your heart. Whatever it is that makes you feel unworthy. Give me all your sins and mistakes, all of your self-doubt, all of your feelings of unworthiness. You turn and embrace and then he stands, picks up a stone by the side of the river, and throws it far, far down the river. And says it's gone, forgiven and forgotten. In the next few moments, I invite you to spend time in the presence of Jesus, looking at him underneath the bright sun, feeling the freshness and newness of his grace and forgiveness. Eventually, Jesus rises and pulls you to your feet, and hand in hand or arm in arm, you walk together. Amen. Although we know that in Christ, once and for all, we have all been forgiven. we need rituals and practices to remind us of that. And our practices of confession and assurance of pardon are one of the most important things we do in worship. And so I invite you, when you feel the need, to return to the stream with Jesus as often as you need to, just to be reminded, already forgiven. May we never forget.
Oh, you of little faith, why do you let the wind and the waves distract you? Oh, you of little faith, don't you know that when you're falling down, I'm there to catch you? And when all your world is gone and you cannot sing your song, I will help you carry on the one I love. Oh, you a little faith, oh, how quickly and how often you have forgotten. Oh, you a little faith, aren't you tired of all the wars and battles you have fought?
Come now to a time of prayer together, when we lift up the needs of the world, the needs of the people around us, our own needs to God, who welcomes us with loving and gracious arms. Let us pray together. Loving and gracious God, it is a gift to be reminded of your love and grace. It is so easy to lose track of it in the busyness of our days, as we try to achieve, as we try to be perfect, as we try to live up to some standard someone else has set for us. To sit by the stream and realize you love us just as we are and always have and always will. And there's nothing we could ever do that would cause you to love us any less. Dear Lord, how many people in our broken and hurting world do not know their own belovedness, do not know your grace and your forgiveness and your power to change our hearts and our lives. God, help us to be such faithful followers of you that all those whom we meet, with whom we work and interact, might see a glimpse of that grace. Help us to be a people, a congregation that lives out that grace in your world, to make it look more like you want it to look. And part of that work, O God, is to pray together for the world that you love so much. And so today we lift up this beloved planet. We pray for the waters and the grass and the trees and the rocks and the desert places. We pray that you would help us as a corporate people, as a human race, to take better care of this planet you've given us. We pray for all of the places in the world that are racked by war and violence. We pray for the leaders that would seek for peace with justice. We pray for those who wrestle with poverty each and every day. We pray for the people in our own community who do not have a safe and warm place to lay their heads. We pray for our 14 guests who are with us tonight with room in the inn. May they sleep well. May they enjoy good food and fellowship and feel a sense of belonging and grace in this place and when they leave here tomorrow. We pray for all of those who are in the beds in the hospitals all around this church, for those who cannot sleep, for those in pain, for those wrestling with mental illness. And we thank you for all of those who care for them this night and every day, the nurses and doctors and techs and specialists, those who clean the floors and prepare the food. God, in this moment of silence, we lift before you all of those close to us in our circles of family and friends and in this congregation whose needs are on our hearts today. Hear our prayers as we name them before you in the silence. Finally, O God, we pray for ourselves that we might continue to grow in our acceptance of your love for us, that we might go from this place more assured of your grace and drawn ever closer to you and the companionship and friendship that you offer us each and every day. May we seek to be your people. We offer ourselves, we offer our work together as a congregation to you, that you will use us as you will. All of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has removed our sins, our brokenness once and for all, who has claimed us and made us whole, and sends us out to be instruments of your love and grace. And so together we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our last act of worship tonight is to worship through the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And that will be our final word for the night. But as we go, may it be well with our souls. May we continue to return to that place of rest and complete grace and share it willingly everywhere we go. Amen.
It is well
with my soul.